You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
Thanks, everybody. Well, what I'd like to start off with is really offering up my service to the Lord today. So, Father God, in Jesus' name, I just come to you, and I ask you to breathe, like we sang praise to you, bring life into my lungs to speak your words. Holy Spirit, come here, that you will prod our hearts to hear your word. We won't take it for granted. We won't walk out of here today the same. Jesus, this is about you and what you've done in my life, and I give total surrender to everything that you are and who you're making me to be. In Jesus' name. All right. Well, if you don't know a little bit about us, so we have been married for 15 years, coming up here in a couple weeks. We have four kiddos. Fun times, anywhere from the ages of 2.5 to 11 years old and everything in between. Yes, yes. Something that I need to say from the get-go, to be able to share my heart today, and we're going to talk about specifically heart and mind, and the desires of our heart and the transforming of our mind. In order for me to be able even to do this, the Welcome Home series isn't just something talked about. This is a safe place. This is a safe place that I can actually get up here and lay it all out there, because I have nothing to hide. I used to. Used to have a lot to hide. And he's using Streams to draw things out of me that I actually used to mock. That I said I would never do. This is it, right here. You're witnessing it. I said I would never do this. My dad was a pastor. So as a preacher's kid, and a shunned one at that, I had a lot of bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. And that played out in many different ways. And so actually, that's what I want to start off with today. Because we're talking about heart and mind. I'm just going to tell you mine. I'm going to tell you my heart and my mind and where it was and where it is today and where he continues to take it. So I'd like to invite my wife up to dialogue with me about really the last 15 years. I told you a little bit about the precursor to getting married, which was pastor's kid, insecure, searching for meaning. And that certainly played out in our marriage. And so if you wouldn't mind flipping to the next slide, my story, and it is our story, but I definitely screwed up a lot, so it's more about my story. So, and how God uses those mess ups and the things that happened early in our marriage. The first 7 years was really tough. They call it the 7-year itch. Well, I was infected from head to toe. And so my story defined in questions, and what we're going to dive into together in just a few minutes, why can't I hear you, God? So I was sitting there making these choices and committing myself to certain types of desires. My career. I wanted to be successful because, again, I'm a PK and I have something to prove, and I want to be important syndrome. I wanted to make more money than, I was a preacher's kid. We didn't have money. I'm getting secondhand, you know, Nintendos and that type of thing. I wanted to feel important. I wanted a family, but I wasn't really willing to fully commit. I got married and had kids, but guess what? I realized I wasn't really, really ready to fully commit. So what do you think about during that time frame? And again, that's where my heart was on trying to hear God.
Yeah, I felt like we had a lot of head knowledge about God and who he was and what we should do. And so we tried to take steps that were wise. You know, we went to premarital counseling, even though I'd highly doubt I would have backed out had they said, you know, nah, this isn't the right pairing, you know. We tried to do what was right, but it wasn't, there was a surface level to it, you know, because we were working out of our own energy and efforts rather than working out of the power of the Holy Spirit. So, of course, you're going to get subpar when you do that. So I think our intentions were good, but we definitely suffered because we didn't have the practicality of knowing who God is.
Yeah, and we didn't invite Holy Spirit, Jesus in. We said we did. We said it at the ceremony. That was cool. We did the candle, or what did we do?
Yeah, we did a glass. We did the candle.
It was a long time ago. no, it was great, but we hadn't invited him in informally.
Yeah.
I think we'd invite him formally. And so that played out in other relationships.
Yes, we had, well, specifically, the spirit level between us was faulty. So because you were kind of spiritually closed off, had these fences around certain parts of your heart saying, you know, God, I don't want you there. I don't need you there. That ended up closing you off to other healthy relationships that would have,
yeah,
you know, opened us up to
held
change
me accountable
and to growth.
And, yeah.
Yeah, holding us accountable. So then, you know, you just kind of keep sinking deeper and deeper into the trouble of thinking, you know, well, my spouse is just this way. It's just him or it's just her. Nobody else has to deal with this. You know, nobody else's life looks like this. Nobody else thinks these things or does these things. It's just you, because we're not talking with anyone. We're not in community with other believers, you know, and I feel like many times the women are the one who are in community, you know, and then the men are isolated and not realizing, like, this is human nature. This is what we all struggle with, and God's here, and he wants us to be alive. He wants us to be free from all of that, but it's common. It's not just you. It's not just me.
Yeah, and those desires, or the lack thereof, to come in community with a church body wreaked havoc on my relationship with her. My kids were really young, so I would just be quick to check out. You're like, well, you're the stay-at-home mom. I've got a lot of work to do. Would you
and
say
then,
I worked
yeah,
a lot?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, after work, there was always something, you know, to do. And I didn't want to be that naggy wife that says, you know, no, you're coming home, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, social hour, yep. Happy hour, a lot of just... Again, I was finding all this recognition from people at work, and they were giving me the accolades. I was moving up. I was making a lot of cash. It was great. Everybody's singing my praises. But at home, man, I was like, you're not singing my praises, and I'm not singing yours. And it played out. You know, you're having kids. I wouldn't call any sort of intimacy. I'm not talking physical. I'm talking in any form,
right.
A strong part of where we were. And it came out of where I was in my mind and what was in my heart.
Yeah, and it really festered. I mean, it, you know, started there, but then it comes out in your behavior. And, you know, I would then isolate myself and go, you know, be with my sister or just be with my kids and try to survive, you know, with two kids under two, basically, was, you know, really difficult, and it was lonely. And, you know, without me having that strong foundation with Jesus either, just really knowing the character of God and who he was, I had no direction. Where do I go? How do I change this course? So I just kind of sat back for the ride and, well, this is just the lot. You know, this is the lot that we have.
Yeah, so if I'm asking questions like, why do I need to follow the read the Bible pray strategy? Because I've heard it all my life. It didn't seem to work for my family, my parents. That didn't seem to work. They split and it just didn't play out well. And so we weren't praying together.
That was really uncomfortable. We didn't want, yeah. We prayed on our own. I'm sure that you were praying.
Different points in time.
You know, I know I was praying.
You were praying
but it wasn't
what together. Would happen to me. And I'm not talking about hitting by a car, but you were wondering, like, how much longer will we go down this path and where is it going?
Right, yeah. It was very uncertain, you know. Yep. You didn't know where the end was going to, or where the bottom was going to drop out.
Yeah, we would try the little marriage retreats and maybe a book or two. But again, because of where my desire was not to just unite with my wife, I just wanted it to be better. So was I willing
easier,
to put it in? Yeah, easier.
We
were having all these kids, and I'm like, I'm a first-time dad. We're not getting any time together anyway. And it just created strife in our home. And that's but one could say, well, did you desire strife in your home? No, but what else was I desiring as a product of? So I was getting what I was sowing these things, and I was reaping those things.
Yeah, I really felt like the key was what was happening in your mind, because, you know, we think our thoughts are unseen. You know, how is that going to affect anyone, or how is this going to, this is just in me, this is just myself, it's not a big deal. But your thought life was what actually played out in real life eventually, you know, because you can only keep those things inside, and what out of our hearts is what we speak and who we are, and it comes out eventually. And so it came out in a very visible way, and we definitely got to a breaking point where it was time to draw a line in the sand, basically. And I did, and I said, you know, we're either going to move forward from here together or not at all. And I didn't know what that was going to look like or how it was going to play out, but I knew we had some misconceptions about who God is
yeah.
and what he has for us and how we are to live. And so we determined at that moment that we were going to stick together and we were going to move forward in discipleship and to learn who is God and what does he say about our lives.
Yeah, and again, more questions up here. What was my purpose? What was our purpose? What did we really want to be doing? Because my purpose seemed to be make a lot of cash, get promoted at work. I was doing great things. That seemed to meet that need because I didn't want that to be served in church. I didn't want those gifts to be served in that area. And so it led me down the road of why do I even need church? Well, now I have kids, so let's get them into Sunday school, children's ministry, whatever it is. Let's make sure they're in there because that's what I had, and they'll get taught by Josh or whomever, and that'll be great. But the challenge became I didn't have anyone else in my life going, hey, you're really messing up here, because I wasn't willing to let anyone in. Mm-hmm. And my lukewarm relationship with Jesus played itself out in every scenario. Every scenario. And I had to pick whether or not I was here or here. Now, was I on the road, you know, to Damascus and there was a bright light and our marriage is great now? No. But what has played out in the last 8 years, if you could flip two slides forward, is this man being torn between where my mind was, where my heart is, and what am I doing, played out in every relationship. On the other side of this, he redeemed my marriage. Mm-hmm. We forgave one another. You probably forgave me. We actually started praying together. That didn't happen overnight. There were
really
years after this, 8 years ago, right? We had more kids and mm-hmm. more moves. We've moved 15 times in 15 years. I've moved the family cross country twice. From here.
And back.
Yeah. And even steps like, okay, I'll take a step. I'll get involved in church in Boston. We left here and we went to Boston and, okay, I'll do this and I'll be a greeter. Very uncomfortable. I appreciate you greeters. And there was little things along the way and then it clicked. It clicked 3 years ago where our marriage and our parenting and my work and all boils down to my spiritual relationship with Jesus and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide me. It has changed the ball game. I'm no longer halfway in, halfway out. Our marriage isn't halfway in, halfway out. We're all in. And we're up here telling our story because we're one of you. We're not up here because we're fabulous and we've got everything figured out. If anything, we're figuring out with you and we're in a safe place that we can share this with our family. That's where we are today. So, did you want to add anything else, sweetie?
Yeah, just one more thing. No, but along those lines of our journey, you know, from brokenness and from confusion and moving forward, I just wanted to say it was all those little, small baby steps. You know, it's not going to be one day magical and fixed, but we chose to push through and to get involved and to pursue relationships, even when we didn't click personally, you know, with the people at church, wherever we happened to be. We knew because
point.
We were learning to understand what God had for us and what he was calling us to. He desired for us to push through when it was uncomfortable. And when, you know, maybe those people wouldn't have been our best buddies that we'd want to grab pizza with every Friday night, but that was where he had us. And so just to encourage you guys, as you're walking through your lives and moving forward, there's going to be uncomfortable situations that you're going to have to choose to move forward and choose to walk through and choose to trust, like Jeremiah was saying before, that he's not just going to skip to the end, you know? And where would we be if we just skipped to the end? We would be no different. We'd be no better. But because we walk through, we learn, and he changes who we are along the way, and then we can share.
Amen. So. I think I'm done. You guys would like that, huh? You did miss first service where we're having our 15-year anniversary, so I gave her a little.
That was a total surprise.
Yeah. The original diamond reset. Michael Labrine, he's fabulous. So I talked a lot about where I was, and you may think, man, this guy's an awful person. But let me get to where I'm at now, which I hope my passion bleeds through. Honestly, I know that it does, because I can't stop talking about Jesus. I can't stop talking about the role of the Holy Spirit in my life and how he's changed the desires of my heart. The desire is no longer make as much as you can, have the house, they'll be fine, kids are in sports. Doesn't that feel so typical? I want us to be an anomaly. But it's only through him. Before, I wanted to be an anomaly because of me. My desires changed from unforgiveness towards my father and mother to that relationship is fully redeemed today. Fully redeemed. My marriage, it's fully redeemed. Forgiveness to me is the one thing that gets in our way of changing the desires of our heart and changing our mind. Because we hang on. Ezekiel talks about how he transplants, the Father transplants our heart from that stone into a heart of flesh. And that's what happened to me and continues to occur. My desires changed from sitting there, and this is laughable to even be standing here, to be a disciple, meaning I'm willing to follow, I disregard everything else. You want to sell the house? Let's sell the house. I get that, you know, if you ever watch Francis Chan, I'm a big fan, but he says give it all up. What are we willing to do to be a disciple? Well, this is one thing I'm doing to be a disciple today. And the conversations we're having in small group and river groups and the marriage mentoring, these are the things that you and I can do to be a disciple. Other things that changed, that made significant difference is to be an active member in the church body. I had things in my heart about church that I would never want to say up here. I was in it for so long. I was into the programs. I got it down pat. Know how I'm supposed to stand up and raise and sit down and do all these different things. But I needed more. I needed more. I needed to be a part of a community that I didn't know if I wanted to be a part of, but I didn't feel like I had a choice. So here's the most substantial thing that changed me and continues to change me is that I have the correct view of God, his character, his ways. And we sing wonderful praise and worship. It's incredible here. If you don't know, it's your first time, come back. Praise and worship is excellent. And we sing that you are good, you are faithful, you are beautiful, you are the Almighty, you are the I Am. But do we truly believe those things? I couldn't hear him because I didn't believe who he was and who he is and what he's done for me. It deafened me. Do you want to clearly hear him? Do you want to know his will? What if you knew his plan for your life? He changes your heart and transforms your mind when you delight in his character and his ways. He changes it. He's changed my trajectory. I don't know where it's going to go, just so you know. I think you know that about me. I don't know where this is going. But I know we're together, and I know that the Holy Spirit is leading us, and Jesus is at the center. That's what I want for all of you. That's what he wants for all of us. Many times we can't hear him because we haven't spent time learning him. How many stories do we know in the Word, right? The Moses, the Abrahams, right? Second guessing God and seeing how different things played out. And when they started listening, what happened? What happened when they got a true view of who God is? We have misconceptions today that completely deafen our ability to hear him. So if we don't hear him, how can he change the desires of our heart and renew our mind? God wants you to know his will and his voice. He wants you to recognize it. That still small voice. But here's what I think. He cares far more that you know his character, who he is as a dad, his faithfulness, and his promises. He cares far more for that because you then will hear him and you will know his will. But we start here. I was here. God, I can't hear you. No, I can't hear you. What do you want me to do? Who am I? And then I was filling I think we pay credence to so many different things that those desires become reality. Right? My desire was to make more money, so I did. My desire was to move up in my career, and I did. My desire was to be the cool guy. I thought it was pretty cool at the time. But it wasn't to cultivate spiritual relationships and to know him more. So, his character, through the Holy Spirit, changes our desires. Let's look at Psalms 37:4. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. You know, at different points in my spiritual maturity, I could have interpreted that as a kid, I probably wanted the Game Boy. That was my heart's desire. And so I take delight in you. I love you, Lord. Give me something. Maybe that car, maybe that job, whatever it was. Maybe it's, you know, legitimate relationship issues. God, meet the desires of my heart. I want this to be fixed. To Jeremiah's prayer, it couldn't have been more relevant. I just want it to be over. So can you just grant me the desires of my heart, which is to be healthy and whole and all those things. But do we really take delight? Do we really want him to change our desire? You know, desire is a passionate longing, right? So what are you longing for today? Where is your desire? You know, delight is a multifaceted expression. Delight is the want to be with him, to trust him, to find joy, to find pleasure, pursuing him. Relentless pursuit. This week was a tough week for me. I'm sure, anybody have a tough week? Yeah, I felt like it was a month all in one week. You know, it could have been work or the schedule's picking up with sports and all these things. And my mom, she's actually very ill. I'm flying out in a couple hours. All these things. And I'm like, okay, the true test is, do I take delight in him? And do I renew my mind and believe the transformation of who he's made me to be in the midst of all of that, in the midst of the funk? Or do we start believing other things about him? Because that's how our dad was. That's the example I had. The renewal of the mind is daily. You know, in Scripture, and we'll talk a little bit in a minute, but the renewal is an action verb. A litmus test for me that I've really put myself to the test is in the last couple of years, when I wake up in the morning, is praise on my lips? Is thankfulness in my heart? Is worship the first thing I'm thinking about? Or is it, got to get the kids up, breakfast, man, I don't want to go into that job, I roll over, maybe I don't have the best relationship with my wife, and I see her there, and I go, she's probably doing the same thing. Not probably. So much is going on. But I know that the renewal of my mind starts first thing when I pop up and I go, okay, is praise on my mouth? Because like Joanna mentioned, out of the heart, right? And so when I'm not there, when I have chaos going on at work, do I take the time and pause? And, you know, I wish I could stand up here and go, I'm such a spiritual warrior. It's 30 minutes every day. Daily devotional. I'm grinding it out. That's not the reality of my life. Do I need to make more time? I do. But my challenge for you is praise in your heart and your renewal of your mind happening with even in the first 5 minutes of your day. So that's a good test for me. When our desires change, when our hearts align with our thinking, glory to him becomes second nature. It doesn't have to be a question mark. Did you do this? We can walk in his goodness, his faithfulness, his promises. You know, we hear things in Scripture. I don't know about you, but I hear these things, you know, again, in my upbringing. Just walk by spirit and my, you know, walk in spirit and truth. And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, tell me what that means. Again, the practicality to this is, are you willing to surrender your day today? Are you willing to surrender your marriage today? Are you willing to give up your pride and unforgiveness? Because again, these are the deafening things that we're doing this because we don't let it in. Romans 12:2. It's funny. I don't know how many of you were here last week, but Lloyd actually used both a similar passage, not these specific scriptures, and I just thought it was a beautiful way of bringing this together. But in Romans 12:2, he's speaking to the Romans, right? Paul's saying, listen, man, you got to stop all that. You got to, and he goes into some very specific things, right? He says, don't copy the behavior and customs. Don't do what everyone else is doing. Because there's a lot of customs of this world, right? But let God transform you into a new person. We hear that, right? Put on your new nature. We talk about that all the time. But here's what he says. He's giving us the punchline. By changing the way that you think. That's practical to me. If I'm thinking this way about someone or something, and it's negative, and it's, man, that person, or that situation at work, or my kids, or my whatever that is, do I choose to change my think based off of what he has said about my family, what he said about my wife, what he said about my kids, what he said about me? Because he says we're beloved. He says we're loved. He says we're new. He says we're his own. He chose us. But we choose not to believe. We back up. We go backwards in the way that we think. So then he goes, then you will learn to know. So again, if you're crying out, God, show me your will. I can't hear you. Why can't I hear you? Do you know his character and his ways? Because he's saying, then you will learn to know God's will. Because he's influenced how you think about him. Your spirit's renewed. The next one is Ephesians. Ephesians 4:21 through 24. Since you have heard about Jesus, you've heard about him, right? Have learned the truth that comes from him. Paul says, and again, in the same huge passage, he's going, will you just stop all that other stuff? Throw off your old sinful nature, your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Let's just call a spade a spade. When I told you about my story in the beginning, that was lust. That was lust for life, not the way he designed it. I was deceiving myself and telling myself lies about who I was, that I was insecure, I was a nobody, I needed to prove a lot, and it carried into every part of my life. And what he's saying is, all that stuff is corrupted by that. Corrupt means no good. Don't go back. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. We cannot overemphasize the importance of the role of the Holy Spirit in renewing our mind. You decrease that, good luck. Because that is his spirit within us. And he's saying, I want you. I have chosen you. Come forth and I will fill you. Not your will be done. He says, my will be done. That takes obedience. So put on your new nature created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So I started thinking about this. You know, any decent speaker, right? I hope this is a good analogy because any decent speaker has some analogies. So I have four kids, three of which participate in some sort of sports, and I know I look like it, but I work out all the time. No? Thank you, honey. Those clothes, after you get done working out, or when my kids get in the van, and it's rubbing all over the cloth, and we got to go get the van washed, and put the kids through the car wash too, and all these sports jerseys, right? It stinks. You play sports? Your jerseys stink? Yeah? So, I don't want to mention any names in my family, and it's not my wife. One of my children chooses to take a shower when he gets home and then put on the exact same clothes he was just wearing, including the undies. So, if you've ever smelt sweaty clothes, I'm making this very visual for you. Those sweaty clothes, why would you put them back on? Who in their right mind would wear that? Or if you've ever ran out of clothes, right? And you go, oh, I got to turn those inside out. It doesn't diminish the smell. I'm making it that distinct because he's saying, throw off, change your clothes, man. Don't put the clothes back on. And for some reason, we invite influences into our life, people into our life that we know. We fixate on things. We watch whatever that is, the desires of our heart, influences our mind because we step back into the old clothes. We put on all those stinky rags and we say, this is how I want to walk forward in life. And then we get frustrated when we stink. He has renewed us. He says, don't go back. Whatever you do, don't go back. So, three things that I want you to ponder, if you can skip ahead. I'll invite Johnny and the worship team up. The three questions that, again, has changed my trajectory as a human. Placing Jesus in the center of all this. What do you desire? Be honest with yourself. Even if they're good desires. But is the desires of your heart towards Him? Second question, where's your mind's focus? I've told you where mine was and where I have to continually each day choose to renew my mind. God, I don't want that anxiety today. I believe in who you are. What am I focused on today? The last one that influences the other two. What do you think and feel about God, His character, His ways? Are you willing to let go of maybe some fallacies on how you think about Him? I had to let go of so many things that, again, that I saw from my family or my dad or this influence and just give it up. I had to truly believe when I say you are good, that He is good. I think we take that for granted sometimes. We say it, but then we don't truly believe it when we walk out the doors. If we truly believe that He is faithful. So I want to let that resonate for a minute. I think it's okay to have awkward silence. I feel like I should share this. There are quite a few people. Prophetic is not one of my greatest gifts, so Holy Spirit's telling me, stop letting your circumstances define who you are. Stop letting your circumstances tell you what kind of God that I am. So as we close today, and again, I want you to continue to contemplate these three questions. I want to invite you up. This isn't the traditional altar call, but I love it how Streams comes together as a body and we surround one another. There's a lot of strength in that. So I invite you as a church congregation to come up here with me, because I'm one of you. Challenge yourself. Pray for one another. And let's just worship. And spend time in His presence. And I can't wait to see what He does in your heart. How He transforms your mind.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.